Hello and welcome to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. This week in worship, Pastor David continues our 40 days of spiritual growth with a look at solitude, a time to just get away and spend time with God. Let's listen.
Good morning and welcome once again to Unity. You may remember that we in this season of Lent are doing this 40 days of growth. And we've commissioned a local artist to paint our church. And every week, we're going to show you one stage in the development of this painting. And so I invite you up at some point after the service to come and see week two, what this looks like. Last week, it was just an outline, and now you can see it's progressing a little bit. And as you see this painting progress, we hope that you'll use it as an analogy for your own faith, where this season of growth, you see your own faith growing and being shaped and progressing in some way as we give you these practical spiritual tools to really grow and learn. So I want to begin with this question today as we learn this new tool for growth. And the question is, how often do you feel rushed? How often are you rushing from activity to activity without really being able to enjoy the present moment? How many times are you stuck in traffic and that's the end of the world because you just don't have the time to be stuck in traffic? When do you feel stretched too thin? Now, we recognize there's a difference between being busy and still healthy and productive and being overly busy, where it's beginning to affect you and your relationships. And so as we begin our time together, I believe it's important to be able to tell the difference. And so these are some signs that you may be overly busy in your life. You know that you're too busy if you feel that every day is just a grind to get through, where you don't really have passion or enthusiasm for your day. You're just checking items off a to-do list. That means you might be overly busy. Or you may be too busy if you have no energy for your family at the end of the day. You come home and you're just spent, or maybe you're irritable with your spouse or your parents or your kids because you're just exhausted by the day that you had. Or finally, you might be too busy if you think less about what God has in store for your day and more about what you need to get done. If you find your schedule impacting your faith, you may be overly busy. Well, for the majority of us, the great danger is not that we will give up our faith. Instead, it is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we'll settle for a mediocre version of it. Jesus was very busy. In fact, we're going to study a story today to see how he responded to the busyness and stress of his own life. And then hopefully we can learn from that and apply it to our own lives, because I know there are at least seasons where we were nodding our heads to some of those things, saying, yeah, maybe I am overly busy right now. And so hopefully we can learn from Jesus as we all go through this path of spiritual growth. Well, our story today of the time when Jesus was very busy begins very early in Jesus' ministry. This comes from the first chapter of Mark. So very, very early in his ministry, and people are beginning to realize what Jesus can do. And in fact, they're pretty amazed at Jesus. And two things in particular are what they are amazed at. The first thing is his teaching. They are watching and witnessing Jesus' teachings, and they keep saying, wow, he teaches with someone who has authority. He teaches with power. He teaches differently than we've ever seen people teach before. That's the first thing that really impressed people. But the second thing, which would obviously impress us as well, is he began doing miracles. He began healing people. Just with a word or with a touch, people began to be healed. And so we're told that large crowds began to follow Jesus. They were interested in him. They wanted to see with their own eyes whether people could actually be healed. And so the crowds got larger and larger as word of what God or what Jesus could do began to spread. And so our scripture begins today in Mark chapter 1, and it's verse 27, and it's right after Jesus gets done preaching or teaching in the synagogue. The reaction of the crowd says this: they were all amazed. And they kept on asking one another, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once, pay attention to this word, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Now, we often associate fame with a celebrity, a movie star, or someone on the radio. It's the Taylor Swifts of our world. But here, it's Jesus who becomes well-known. It's Jesus whose fame has begun to spread throughout this whole surrounding region of Galilee. Yes, the crowds that follow Jesus and want to get a glimpse of him, want to hear his words, are getting larger and larger. And then we're told in the next verse that as soon as they left the synagogue, meaning Jesus and his disciples, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Now, at this point, I have no doubt that Jesus and his disciples are gearing up for a quiet night at home. I mean, wouldn't you be? Jesus had just preached in the synagogue. Large crowds are following him wherever he goes. Don't you think at this point Jesus was kind of tired and ready just to spend the night at Peter's house with his disciples? Yet what we learn from the next verse is that the crowd who saw Jesus teach was not willing to wait until morning to get another glimpse of Jesus. And so we're told in verse 32, it says, that evening at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. I want to highlight two words for you, all and whole. As in, notice that the people brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed with some sort of unclean spirit, that the whole city was gathered around Peter's door. What a scene this must have been. The sun just beginning to set and a whole city surrounding one house. I imagine Peter looking out his window and just being bewildered by what he saw outside his window. I mean, he looks out. I wonder if you can picture this scene. He looks out and all the sick people from his city are there, just surrounding his house. And not only are all the sick people there, but all the people who are possessed with demons are there too, just surrounding Peter's house. In fact, all the loved ones who probably brought the sick people are around his house. Yes, the whole city is gathered around Peter's house. And Jesus has to decide what to do here. And I bet Jesus was exhausted. If I was Jesus, I think I'd want to just close those shades and pretend that I didn't see the whole city surrounding my little house. I think I'd just want to go take a nap and pretend that the world out there, it'll still be there tomorrow. Let me get there later. Yet Jesus was very busy at this time. And yet, Jesus must have gone outside, because we're told in the next verse that he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. Yes, Jesus had compassion on the people. And he spends probably the next several hours, probably late into the night, healing the city. Now, as we said at the beginning, Jesus was busy. And if our scripture ended here, then you might think Jesus' answer to busyness is just to push through, right? Just push through the fatigue. Just try a little bit harder. And that's really what our culture says to us, isn't it? Our culture just says, oh, be more efficient with your time. Fit more in. Do more. That's really the push of our society. And if our scripture ended here, we might think that that's what Jesus did in his life as well. But thankfully, our scripture does not end here. No, we're told that in the next verse, Jesus does a practice that combated the busyness of his life. The spiritual practice is this. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. In the midst of an extremely busy season, when a whole city is in pursuit of Jesus, Jesus wakes up early, goes by himself to a deserted place, and spends time with God. We're not told where this deserted place is. Maybe it's up on a hillside somewhere. We just know that he's alone. It's in a quiet moment. And he goes for probably rest, but also to be with God. This is a regular pattern for Jesus. In fact, if you look through your Bibles, you will see this phrase over and over again. Jesus went to a deserted place and prayed. For example, so early on in Jesus' ministry, large groups of disciples followed Jesus. But at some point, Jesus decided, I need to narrow in to 12 people. I need to choose the 12 disciples to really pour my life into and to teach. And so the night before Jesus chose the 12 disciples, which would have been a really important and big decision, we're told that Jesus went off by himself, found some solitude, and found time with God. In fact, you see that in Luke chapter 6. It says, now during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them. See, Jesus knew that choosing 12 disciples is a really big, important decision. And so before he made that decision, he spent the entire night in prayer to God. This is a regular practice for Jesus. And it's a practice that not only does Jesus do, but he encourages us, his disciples, to follow as well. In fact, there's another time in the scriptures where he sends the disciples out to nearby towns to preach and gives them the ability to heal. And so they go. They go to the nearby towns and they spend some time preaching, and then they come back and they're really excited because it was a successful time of ministry. And I bet they wanted to just go off and do it again, continue to ride that wave. But instead, this is what Jesus tells them when they come back. In Mark chapter 6, he said to them, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And so they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Yes, even Jesus' followers were busy. There were times where they were too busy to find a moment even to eat. And so Jesus reminds them, we need to rest a bit. We need to go to deserted places. We need to find time to be with God. Yes, Jesus found value in solitude. And it's evident that for Jesus, finding time to be alone with God was a valued spiritual practice. And so as we seek to grow in this season of Lent, in these 40 days of growth, we too should find time throughout our own schedules, throughout our own busy and stressful lives for solitude and to find time to be with God. Now, I bet many of us in this room are thinking, okay, I see the merit of that. I think that sounds like a good idea, but David, you don't know my schedule. You don't know how busy it is. I don't know where I would find the time to do this. And I absolutely understand that, which is why I recommend this. I recommend that you identify times of what I call little solitude throughout your day. What that means is think of your day where you have at least 5 minutes, even just 5 minutes, completely to yourself. Maybe that's if you wake up before the rest of the family wakes up. Maybe that's right when you drop off your kids to school. Maybe that's during your lunch break. When do you have 5 minutes that are just completely by yourself, a time of little solitude? If you can identify one moment throughout your day when you have that, try this. Close your eyes, not now, but during those times. Close your eyes and start taking some deep breaths and then say this simple prayer. Say, God, I'm listening. Please speak to me. And if you do that, what you'll notice is that your mind will just start to drift to different things throughout your day. That's what our mind does. It'll begin to think about things that are coming in the future, or it'll begin to think about things that happened throughout your day or your past. Don't get mad at yourself and go, no, come on, focus, I'm praying here. Don't do that. Instead, when you say, God, I'm listening, please speak to me, when your mind drifts, use that as an opportunity to pray for those things that are coming to your mind. And so if you do that and your mind is drifting to those conversations that didn't go as well as you wanted, to those times where you chose anger instead of grace, or those times when you rushed through an interaction that needed really to take more time than it did, simply say, God, I'm kind of sorry for how that went. I want to commit this to you and give me more opportunities to live in a way that you'd want me to live. Or you might have that time and you're quiet And that's when all the stress and anxiety of the day hits you. And if that's true for you, just say, God, I don't have control over this portion of my life. And so, God, I'm giving it to you. Or maybe for you, in that time, all the good things will pop to your mind. The times that are going well, the things that you can go to God in gratitude for. And if that's true, just say, God, thank you. Thank you for these things that are currently happening in my life. Whatever comes to your mind, use those as opportunities to give that over to God. These are moments of little solitude throughout your life. Yes, Jesus often went to a deserted place to pray, to go and to be with God. But this sort of self-reflection will never happen if we don't stop moving. And the world around us will always keep moving. Yeah, we will not be helped to find times of self-reflection with a world that's always asking us to do more. And this was true in Jesus' day as well. It's not unique to us. In fact, that's why I find this next verse so funny. You know, Jesus went to a deserted place to pray, and then the next verse it says, and Simon and his companions hunted for him. I mean, Jesus goes to be by himself, and his buddies go and hunt him down. I want to say to him, guys, he's not playing hide and seek here. He's getting away from you. Give him some space here. And it's even better that when they find him, this is what they say. It says, when they found him, they said to him, everyone is searching for you. And Jesus responds, I know. That's why I'm in a deserted place. I recognize everyone is searching for me. At least that's how I would respond if I was Jesus. No, instead, Jesus responds, well, then let us go to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Well, the temptation is to fill every moment of our lives with noise or distraction. But if there's never silence in our lives, then how can we hear from God? And so I encourage you in this second week of Lent to find times of little solitude throughout your day, even if they're 5 minutes, to be quiet before God and say, God, I'm listening. Please speak to me. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.